Say that again. At this moment, I'd like to welcome Emily S., Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, my name's Emily. I'm an addict. Good morning. It's a grateful to be clean today. And I woke up this morning and I feel ready to drop it off. I want to thank the convention committee. I know it's not easy to throw it on. We have a convention in Nashville, and I just know that there's so much that goes into it. And I never thought that that I'd have a story worth sharing, a story that that people want me to come and speak my truth. And, you know, because, like, as addicts, they say there's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And I just thought that I'd always be a using addict. I never thought that I'd be a recovering addict. And so, first of all, I want to say that no matter what I say today, that our message of Narcotics Anonymous is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And our message is hope and the promise of freedom. And I have a full hour today, so I'm ready to, I don't know, just go on a journey and take y'all through. My topic today is crisis and recovery. But given we've got a little bit of time together, I'll take you through a little bit of my history. I grew up and I never told myself I would never use drugs. I never was like, oh, well, I want to have this life, I want to have this wedding, I want to have this future, I'll never do this, that, and the other. And I never really, like, viewed my life as this hopeful journey. Because when I was little, something happened to me that, like, disrupted everything I knew about myself and the world. I didn't have the words for it. And sometimes when I look back, I'm like, man, like, now I can say things like trauma and abuse and molestation and all that stuff. And, like, I know what that means in the context of, like, I'm an adult now. But then I didn't have the words. All I knew that something was happening to me and I didn't know what it was. And it just, like, made me not trust anything. And all I wanted to do was escape. And then I grew up in this affluent area where I was told that I don't have any problems because I had money. And so I didn't know that it was okay to share that I was dying inside. And so so I searched for drugs. I've never been peer pressured a day in my life. I was never like, man, I hear a lot, like, I wanted to fit in, but, like, I just wanted to escape. And so when I heard that, like, my friend had been smoking cigarettes or something, I was like, you want to kick it up a notch? You know what I'm saying? And find some drugs. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I mean, I don't even know if I got high the first time. They say we needed somebody to teach us how to use. I just found drugs and tried until one day it worked. And and the first time I used, it's like I just, and I got so messed up and that I blacked out. And I, you know, usually, and I woke up and I felt sick and whatever. And I wasn't like, man, that was tough. I was like, man, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just kept searching ways and means to get more. The only reason why I have yet when it comes to drugs is because that wasn't within my atmosphere. That wasn't something that was available around me. Because I didn't care if I lived or died. I just wanted to escape. And so... And I will say too that, like, I mean, another example is, like, I heard in DARE class, they're like, man, drugs. And I was like, oh, I'm learning a lot. And, but at the same time, you know, the thing that I was taught as well, and something that, like, sometimes my most difficult life lessons can also be a saving grace for me. And when I was little, I was taught that, like, success is everything. That, like, if you're not successful, you're not shit. And so, although that's not the most healthy belief system, I did end up, you know, it was a safe place for me to succeed. So, like, when I was a kid, they put me in gifted, and I just, I don't know, it felt this safety because I was around teachers and people that weren't trying to hurt me. And so, like, I chased that feeling for the rest of my life. So while I was at the bitter ends, institutionalized, I was top of my class in a master's program. And because, like, it wasn't the success or, like, the bettering of my life that I was out for. What I was out for was validation of my whole existence. And so, like, I got straight A's while dope sick in the bathroom. And, like, what that allowed me to do was some really cool shit after I got clean. But, like, it was very confusing to me. So when I, like, found myself institutionalized after a drug overdose, I looked around and I said, well, I don't know. Like, am I an addict? Because I didn't do this, that, and the other. And, like, when I first got clean, they told me that the disease knows, this disease wants to separate you from your help, and it knows your flavor. And for me, what I would do when I first got clean, is, or when I first started coming around to recovery, was like, well, I've never done this. I've never been to jail. And so I'm not an addict. Meanwhile, I'm passed out on the fucking bathroom floor from doing too much drugs, right? I'm institutionalized and committed to a psych ward against my will because they don't think I can make decisions for myself. And so it took me a while. Like, I hear all the time people talk about, man, I got clean, I got one white key tag, and, you know, and then I lived my best life. That wasn't me. I was the one high in meetings, sharing how grateful I was to be clean. Just being like, you know, I mean, I was confused, part of it, to be honest. I didn't understand that certain drugs didn't count, you know. I thought that it was like, you know, what do they say? Like, there's all kinds of addicts, from, like, the junkie using, you know, street, you know, whatever, then the old lady going from doctor to doctor getting prescriptions. Well, I was going from doctor to doctor taking my own and being like, I'll take it whenever I want it. Not recognizing that, like, I have a disease that's out to kill my ass. And, like, and they say that, like, you know, that while addicts do have a stereotype, that we are of all, this, like, it's all, there's all room for all manifestations of the recovering addicts. And so, like, we have people, like, you know, although I was a stats major, top of my class, I still qualified. And sometimes, like, it's hard for me when people say things like, you know, I'm going to get up here and qualify, because that always separated me. And, like, there's no checklist. There's no, like, you have to do X, Y, and Z to qualify to recover. We come in here with our pain. And so I finally got clean at age 25 years old. And because when I left the psych ward, and I was like, man. And they told me, and, you know, they had a nickname for me. Even though I thought I was smart and I thought I was different, they called me Dopey. And they said, hey, Dopey, how far do you live from this institution? I said, about 15 minutes. They said, I'll give you 15 minutes before you use again. And I did. And I kept going. But I heard about Narcotics Anonymous, and I started going to meetings. And again, I was still using, still thinking I was clean, still claiming clean time, sharing my ass off high. You know, they'd be like, don't share unless you haven't used in the last 24 hours. Well, I didn't really, like, admit that I had used. Like, that's the level of denial. Like, there's two things, right? There's denial, and then there's refusal. And, like, when I'm in denial, I don't know that I'm in denial. Like, refusal, like, when I say the words, I'm in denial, I'm not in denial, I'm in refusal. That I know the truth, and I'm not acknowledging it. When I'm in denial, I just don't know. And that was me at that time. But, like, the fellowship loved me, and they knew that I was sick. Like, if I go around normal people, and I'm like, I'm trying to get clean, but somehow I'm still using, it's confusing to people. But addicts loved me where I was at. And yeah, they talk about me. You know what I mean? Like, that girl is high. but like, I kept coming back, and like, and I got a sponsor, and I really thought that, like, you know, I mean, and they, it says in the literature that, like, we can't share in a way that makes the newcomer think that, like, recovery is like, you know, what is it, like, just rainbows and butterflies. Recovery's hard because life is hard. The only difference is that we don't get high. And, like, one of the things that someone told me early on that, like, stuck with me, because, you know, I'm not really, I mean, sometimes, what do they say? I'm so smart, I'm stupid sometimes. And some things are just so profound to me that seem so simple. And one of those things is, like, there's nothing so bad in life that using won't make worse. And that's just how simple it is. That, like, recovery doesn't spare us from life's pain. I mean, I think that even says in the literature, one of my favorite quotes is, like, no amount of spiritual maturity will spare us from the pain of living life on life's terms. And, like, but a loving higher power can help us get through those things clean. And so, like, I found myself in crisis in recovery multiple times. My clean date is June 24th, 2015. And so, like, living life, like, I didn't get clean and everything got better. I got clean and I had to address some things. Like, I had to address these old belief systems that, like, trauma and pain, like, were, I mean, that's all I knew. And, like, I got really offended when people would talk about the victim mentality, because, like, it wasn't a choice. I had no way out. Like, that's all I knew, was, like, that this thing had hurt me so much. And so, like, I've had to, like, come in, and, like, my first year, like, I lived with the person that abused me, and I still stayed clean. And, like, And it's hard because, like, it was so difficult to reconcile it. But, like, all I knew was that, like, if I use, I'm not going to make it. Because, like, at some point, it stopped working. Like, I, you know, I'll tell you, when I discovered certain types of drugs, I realized that I could just use certain things and feel whatever way I wanted to feel. And then I would use those things, and then it didn't work anymore. And I was like, well, shit, what do I do now? And, like, the disease had me so confused that, like, but the reason why I'm successful is because of drugs. Isn't that fucked up? That, like, I thought that the reason why I was smart and the reason why I got straight A's and the reason why I was successful and the reason why I was worth anything, because that was my history, was because of the fact that, like, drugs made me smarter, more capable, more, you know, because, like, let's be honest, when I was using, if I didn't have drugs, I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't take a shower. I couldn't process things well mentally. But, like, what the disease taught me is that, like, my problem was being clean rather than my problem was using dope. And so I was able to, like, but, like, when I got clean, I was like, man, like, I guess I'll just give up my dreams, because drugs are the reason why I'm successful. Like, that's the, like, baffling grip of the disease, is that I thought that that was the reason why. And so, but, like, I was so desperate and the drugs had stopped working that it was worth it to lose everything to be clean. And so, like, when I got clean, I had to dismantle all of that. And, like, I had to go to a meeting a day for 90 days. My sponsor told me to call her every day for 30 days. And, y'all, I don't know what it is about me, but, like, I'm really good at following directions, but I can be very extreme about it. And so I called that lady every day for 18 months, you know, and I'd have, like, a list of shit I needed to talk to my sponsor about. Should I get this job? Should I do this? Should I do that? Because I was scared to death of using, because, like, again, it didn't work for me anymore. And, like, and being alone with me and my disease is a dangerous place to be. And, like, what do they say? That, like, I'm the last person I used with, right? So how am I going to consult myself about myself? And so, like, I needed my sponsor, like, every step of the way. And so, like, it was that elementary for me. I remember when, and I started traveling for work right when I got clean, which I don't know that I would, like, recommend that. But I would be like, I called my sponsor, what if they offer me a drink on the plane? And she's like, you ask for like a Diet Coke or something. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's where my brain was, is that like, I didn't know how to live life without the use of drugs. And so, but like, again, walking through my recovery, I have had to address all of those things, because what do they say? If you don't address your issues, they're going to address you. And so, like, when I had a year clean, I recognized that it wasn't safe for me to live in the house of the person that gave me post-traumatic stress disorder. I was having nightmares and flashbacks, and like, I got to this point where it was like, I'm gonna get help or I'm gonna get high. And then so I started the process of going through therapy, and like, y'all, like, healing is not easy. Like, if it were easy, I think there'd be a lot more like peaceful, free people in the world, because like, it gets worse before it gets better. And so like, when I started going to like addressing these like lifelong beliefs, like that, like everything that happened to me was my fault, or that like it wasn't bad enough, but it was so bad that it made me hate myself, right? But it wasn't bad enough, so I can't feel bad for me. And so I had to dismantle all of that, which was a crisis in my recovery, because like, again, like, I was sitting there, and I remember like being so dissociated at work. I'd be like listening to these people talk to me, and I wasn't even there, because like, my trauma like took me to a different place. It felt so unsafe in my own body that like, I couldn't even stay there and stay grounded. And so I had to walk through that. And then what I got to the point of is like, I recognized that like, my family was not going to meet me along this journey. And so at some point, I had to like dismiss myself from them, because like, my whole life I had chose them over me. And so at some point I was like, I love them so much, but like, I'm gonna die if I don't choose me. And so I had to separate myself. And y'all, the level of grief is just unimaginable. I told y'all I was taking y'all on a ride today. The level of grief of the things that I had to do to stay clean and stay alive was unimaginable. I mean, I'd be in the meetings, y'all, and I'm not generally, when I first got clean, I wasn't an emotional person at all. And they tried to hug me. I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Why are they hugging me like this? They're not like me. They're not like where I come from. But like, I was just so raw and full of so much grief that like, people would bring me tissues and shit every meeting. It's like I got used to it. Like, thank you for the Kleenex. Because like, that's the level of pain that I had to go through to get free. And like, that was 5.5 years ago. Like, and so in that time and in that process, like, I have had to go through life's ups and downs. I've had plenty of people invite me. I mean, I got like a whole holiday plan. You know what I'm saying? I go to that person's house and that person's house, because like, I've had to do that in order to survive the grief and like the feelings of loneliness. And like, you know, and what worked for me may not work for anybody else, but I'm just speaking my truth, what I had to do to survive. And I got free, y'all. Like, I straight up, I mean, and like, there was one thing about my trauma that made it impossible for me to be in a relationship. Because I was so afraid of like the flashbacks and the whatever, that I was single for the majority of my life. And I got done with like, with the deep, deep work. And I ended up just like, thank you, Mike. See, Mike brought the Kleenex. I told y'all, I'm used to it. So, thank you, Mike. So, anyway, I was able to experience new levels of freedom. They say like, new endless possibilities are in recovery. Or what is it? Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. I never thought that this was possible for me. But like, in addition, there are crises in recovery where nothing is wrong at all, which is where I am now. And well, I mean, you know, here and there. So basically, I'm still grieving. And like, I got to this point in my recovery where I felt strong enough to reach back out to my parents and be like, hey, like, here are my boundaries, right? But I love you. And like, if you can do X, Y, and Z, like, and like, here's my boundaries, and like, you can be in my life again. And that happened 3 weeks ago. And in fact, well, part of it happened a year ago at this convention when I got a call on my birthday from both of my parents. And like, it doesn't take much to take you through like a cycle of grief. And I was like, but I held it in all day. And like, but I was in the car with some recovering addicts and I cried the whole way home. You know what I'm saying? And like, I just, you know, but I was, what do they say? Like, I was dying in the rooms, like not, I was alone, but like I wasn't by myself. And so like, I've had to learn to ask for help. But like, they say that like, you know, sometimes our life can feel like you're in a crisis when everything looks good on the outside, right? Like, I'm in a place in my career that I never thought I'd be. I have complete freedom. I have complete, like, I have peace. I have, you know, I have financial freedom. I have all this stuff. But, like, I can find myself not wanting to live anymore. For, like, even though I'm not even sure why I don't want to live anymore. And like, some days the things that keep me alive and clean are like almost embarrassing. Like, I don't want to, you know, my name to be in the news. That's my image issue, you know what I'm saying? And like, what it says in the literature is that like, we'll try many things before we resort to the steps. And so like, I've had to get like, you know, I don't know about y'all, but in the last couple years I found that I can go to a meeting a week. I can call my sponsor here and there and occasionally work a step every 6 months or so. And I'm good. You know, I'm Gucci. Not now. That, you know, like, because for me, like, I have a disease that, like, lives between my ears. And so, like, I don't always get to determine, like, how I'm going to feel. Like, sometimes, what do they say? Like, sometimes you have, like, periods of, like, rapid growth, and sometimes you just kind of coast. And like, but I'll tell you that the disease caught up to my ass, because like, I was able to stay clean and stay free on yesterday's recovery for a long time, and then now I'm like, shit, I gotta buckle down and do some work, which is not fun. Like, it was cool to do the like first, second, and third step, you know, because I was like, I'm powerless. This is the shit I did in my history. Like, I can come to believe it, a power greater than me. And I got some freedom in the last couple years because, like, I didn't think the higher power thing would work for me. And I was able to, like, work the steps as an atheist for the first 12 steps. And I'm so grateful for the program Narcotics Anonymous for the freedom to choose a higher power of our own understanding. And for me, I'm grateful for my sponsors, my multiple sponsors' patience as I went through each step and needed to work the step in a way that worked for me. But this last time around, like, I'm actually believing that there is a God out there that cares for me. And like, so that the first three steps were kind of cool, you know. I was like, I turned my will and my life over, blah 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 blah. And then now I'm in this fourth step, you know. And like, listen, there's nothing more humbling than having some clean time and realizing I'm fucked up. And like, I went over my sponsee's sixth step, okay? And I was like, why is she talking about me like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my feelings hurt by her work. That's how messed up I was. That I was, she was talking about gossip and, you know, all these things, and self-centeredness and self-sabotage. And I was like, all right, that's enough, you know. But sometimes, like, that's the beauty of service, that, like, sometimes we don't get what we need through, like, other people, like, through my own work, sometimes other people got to work their steps to work on me. Sometimes, like, the fellowship, I just, like, need it like that. And, y'all, I can't stand sponsoring. I just got to be honest with you. I didn't realize that was, like, a lifelong commitment. You know what I'm saying? When I, like, commit to, like, an area chair position or whatever, right, it's, like, from July to June. You know? This is, like, 5 years ago. And I'm like, how are we still doing this? And maybe, look, it's for some people and not others, but I got a few of them that just hung on for a long time. But, like, it's so funny how, like, that triggered in me, like, I need to do some work. And, like, when I'm at odds with everything and everyone in my life, like, I mean, literally on the way here yesterday, I got mad at, like, three people in the car on the way, like, 2-hour drive. I was like, yeah, fuck them. And fuck her, too. You know what I mean? And, like, and then I'm like, something might be wrong with me. If I'm mad at everything and everyone, and if I'm at odds with the whole world, then maybe I should take a closer look at me. And, like, with the fourth step, and, like, let me say this. Like, the fourth step is a beautiful, beautiful process. My first fourth step was when I really got to look at some things that happened to me and recognize that they're not my fault. And there were some things that, like, were so dark. And, like, I had, like, wanted to take to my grave. And the idea of sharing this shit in my first fourth step, I would have rather committed suicide than to share that level of depth. And my sponsor at the time said, me too. And, like, I have never in my life felt more freedom. Because, like, when I keep a secret with the disease of addiction, I'm in trouble. Because I can get, you know, I feel like I'm in a corner. And, like, you know, that the only way out is to use. Like, when I was lying about my clean time for 9 months. Listen, nothing more self-like. It separated me so much because I was like, all these people have one thing in common, and that's their fucking clean time, you know? And I'm lying about mine. And, like, I thought that I needed to use to reset the clocks, not recognizing that, like, if I use, I may never make it back. But, like, this particular fourth step, man, I don't want to look at it. At first, I was like, do I have any resentments? I don't know. Hell yeah, I got resentments. I'm resentful towards people that don't deserve it. And, like, it can get so, and, like, there's so much shame associated with it. Like, one of my closest friends in my network and somebody who's, like, I call her my co-sponsor. Even though I don't even like my regular sponsor, my co-sponsor gets on my nerves too. And that's not really like an NA thing. That's just like a me thing. So just keep it clear. But anyway, I'm resentful at her even though she's dying of cancer. And so, like, I'm having to look at myself at a deep level because, like, honesty is the most difficult spiritual principle to practice, but it can be the most rewarding. And, like, that's been true time and time again. But, like, when I'm holding a secret and when I'm in pain and when I feel like you guys aren't going to understand me, there's nothing worse than being separated from people that, like, are in your exact proximity. And, like, it doesn't matter, like, what I've, like, experienced, because the pain in the moment is still just as deep. And so, like, this fourth step's kicking my ass. But, like, what I do know is that, like, getting, like, being the need to be free from me doesn't change regardless of whether I'm aware of it, right? Like, regardless of whether I get honest in my fourth step about my resentment towards my friend that's dying of cancer, doesn't change the fact that I have a resentment towards my friend that's dying of cancer. And the freedom on the other side is me just being like, yeah, like, I'm fucked up. And so, and, like, so, like, for me, like, getting through, like, the crisis in recovery is about just following the rest of the steps. Like, it's really simply laid out. And, like, what my sponsor taught me early on is that, like, I can go through, like, a smaller version of the steps and address any situation that I'm up against, right? Because, like, although, like, I've worked each step sequentially and, like, answered all of these questions in the step working guide, like, that doesn't mean that, like, I'm done. You know, that at the end, I'm like, okay, well, I'm better. I no longer have the disease of addiction. Like, I'm still self-centered. I still have things that, like, I, you know, sometimes I address things like a literal child. Me and my spot. Now, look, sponsorship styles vary for everybody. But for me, as somebody who is, I can hear my sponsor now, self-righteous, independent, self-centered, blah, 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 I need a sponsor that can meet me where I'm at in the moment. And I have gotten into yelling matches with this woman, and I don't even know if I do that for my own sponsees, but it's real in the moment, and my sponsor can just meet me there. And like, I swear, my sponsor is the longest relationship that I have had successfully, seriously, and like, it has been rocky, and anyone who's heard me talk about my sponsor has heard me talk badly about my sponsor, okay? Like, she pisses me off on a regular basis, but like, we can walk through the steps in like a very like brief fashion, like, what exactly am I feeling? And like, being completely gut-wrenching honest about what it is that's going on with me, even if it's embarrassing. Like, sometimes I'll be so angry and resentful about like a situation, and really, I'm embarrassed. And like, being embarrassed is an emotion for me that's difficult for me to process. And but like, if I can get for real honest with me about where I'm at, then I have the chance to like look at what's beyond that. So like, hey, I'm embarrassed, or I feel rejected, or I feel like I'm in pain. Like, what are the character defects that are underneath all of that? And sometimes it's my perfectionism. Sometimes it's my like need for independence. My sponsor, when she told me that independence was a defect, I was like, you have lost your damn mind. Independence is a virtue, woman. But turns out, my independence can be my biggest enemy. And so, like, I can look at that and be like, what is my need for self-sufficiency? What is the lie that I'm telling myself at the root cause of this? And then, what spiritual principles can I practice instead? Because, like I said in the beginning, like, the message in Narcotics Anonymous is like, an addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Well, what is finding a new way to live? Finding a new way to live is practicing spiritual principles instead of defects. That's my experience. And so, like, if the literature says that, like, We ease the pain of living through application of spiritual principles. But I need to know what I'm feeling in order to understand that I need to practice a spiritual principle instead of that defect. Because like, these survival mechanisms that I've employed my whole life, like self-sufficiency because no one protected me as a kid, they're outdated. They don't work anymore. And so like, I had to be like, okay, like, instead of like independence, I don't, and I'll tell you this, with defects, I'll swing all the way past the spiritual principle, go all the way to the other defect. You know what I'm saying? Because on either side of a spiritual principle is a defect. So like, I used to be super passive aggressive. And then I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that anymore. So I went all the way to aggression. Like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Instead of assertive. And so like, that's a practice that I have to do. And so like, and then I can make amends and clean my side of the street and then take inventory regularly, pray and meditate and do some service, and then I get free. But like, no matter what, like, unfortunately, life on life's terms is not fun. And like, we don't get to determine what our life on life's terms looks like. Because sometimes I'm like, well, it'd be easier if I was just struggling with my relationship rather than the pain of avoiding relationships. But like, our path is the one that, like, now there's some things that we, like, do self-inflict, but there are some things that, like, honestly, we can't avoid. Like, in my recovery, I have had 2 neck surgeries. One, I didn't stay clean through, and one, I did. I will tell you that I was using while riding on steps. I was just, like, in the bathroom, like, yes, grateful day to be clean, baby. And so, but the second time, I learned how to stay clean, and that was by being gut-wrenching honest. Because I'll tell you this, the whole, like, when it comes to taking medication and recovery, it, like, the crisis side of it is that, like, it's not, oh, I took this drug, it feels good, I want to take it over and over and over again. Now, that certainly does happen for some people. That wasn't my experience. My experience is I took this drug in recovery, and then I thought that I had lost my clean date. And then the disease convinced me that I had done something wrong by taking medication. And then it made me feel this deep shame and guilt. And to get through that surgery, to get through that crisis, I had to be in the meetings. I had to be with my sponsor. I had to be with my network, being like, I just took this medicine, and I think I took it for the right reason, but my God, my disease is convincing me that I didn't. But like, I stayed clean, because again, nothing is so bad. Because like, my reservation, and I know this sounds a little out there, but my reservation was like, losing my clean date meant that I was going to use more. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I was like, well, if I've taken my medication for the wrong reason, I'm not about to lose my clean date over something small. I'm about to go all the way. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if I'm not, because my clean date can become like part of my identity. Like, I'm better than, I'm part of a hierarchy because I got X years clean. And it's like, I'm just an addict with one more day. And no matter how many things I acquire and whatever, I am one decision away from being that same addict and probably worse. But like, I had to stay clean even though I wasn't sure if I was still clean, which sounds crazy, but it's like, that's how cunning, baffling, and insidious the disease of addiction is for me. And like, what I found, and I think we got like a few minutes left. Where's my person? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure, you know what I'm saying? I'm the only speaker, and sometimes it just gets out of hand. You know, the only way out is through. And like, again, no amount of pain, no amount of like, I've messed this up or whatever, is like worth going back to the disease for. And like, because when I've started the clock of using, I don't get a chance to like be like, okay, I'm going to stop tomorrow and I'm going to go pick up a white key tag and I'm going to start over. It's not that simple. I remember sitting outside of NA meetings wanting to stay clean and then going back to using instead of going in the door. Like, I can be caught in the grip of obsession and compulsion. And so for me, like, the only thing that I know is that, like, even though, like, I'm telling you, I was so mad at everybody, I think I've been, like, vocally in arguments, like, consistently, nonstop for the last, like, week. So, whatever, man, you know? But no matter what, like, no matter how much I feel like I've screwed things up at, like, work or in relationships or, like, the fact that I reached out to my mom for the first time in 5 years, 3 weeks ago, and she didn't respond, like, no matter how painful that is, the one thing is true, that as long as I stay clean till the end of the day, I have a chance to wake up tomorrow and try again. And like, that's the simplicity of the program. And like, all I gotta do, and even though like, I don't know the way out of the fact that like, I've just been coasting for a little too long in recovery, but I know that like, the basics are always simple and true. You just go to a meeting, write a little bit, call my funky ass sponsor, and stay clean to the end of the day, you know? And like, that's all I have to do. I don't have to come up with some mathematical formula of like, how I need to stay clean, even though I'm sure I would like to, because I like to intellectualize this process and like, I want to poke holes in it. But like, it's just as simple as that. And like, everything that I know to be true, and in my experience with like, and I don't know why I just happened to have a crisis mentality, which is why this sounded like a good topic, to be honest with you. but I do know that one thing is true about being in crisis. As long as I just keep going, it gets better. Sometimes, and like, I recently injured my neck in May, and my doctor said, well, what happened? Because now I'm better, and I'm playing volleyball, which I probably shouldn't, but he said, what happened this time? Like, you know, why? Because before, I've had surgeries every single time. And I said, time, doctor. And like, I don't listen to my own fucking advice, you know what I mean? Like, as long as, like, and you know, for me, in a crisis, like, I just come to a meeting, I share about it, I keep sharing about it, I keep coming back, I keep calling my sponsor, I keep talking about it until I'm sick of it, and then one day I wake up and it's like it never happened. And like, that's how it's been with every single difficult thing in recovery. But like, you have, for me, I have to trust that like, at the end of this time, at the end of the step work, that it'll get better. And sometimes when I'm in it, I forget that it always gets better. And like, I've never woken up, and this is again another profound thing for a smart, stupid addict like me, is that I've never woken up like wanting to use, and the next day woken up being like, I wish I had gotten high last night. Like, every single time I've been grateful that I didn't get high the night before. And so, like, as long as I just keep that memory, keep it simple, keep moving forward, it always gets better. So I'm grateful to be here. If you're new, just keep coming back. It gets better. And thank you for letting me share.
Jason Addicts. All right, Emily.